Once upon a time, a great civilization ruled Central America. A little later upon a time, that civilization fell into decline and, in essence, disappeared from the world. Rumors of the Maya people persisted throughout the centuries, persistent enough to convince explorers in the 19th century to go in search of evidence of the civilization. It would have been a reporter's dream to accompany those explorers. One reporter had to take the dream several generations removed in the book Jungle of Stone. William Carlson spent many years as a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle and the New York Times. He was a finalist for a Pulitzer Prize for explanatory reporting at the Chronicle in 1999. Bill and his wife have lived for several years in Guatemala, and he joins us now on the Jefferson Exchange. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
So Guatemala is, in fact, where the book begins. Who were the explorers?
There were two men, and they were very different. This was the early 1800s, and the one was a lawyer from New York by the name of John L. Stevens, and the other was a illustrator architect, British, by the name of Frederick Catherwood, and they had traveled extensively separately, not together, through the Mideast and through Egypt, and became very fascinated by the ancient antiquities, especially the ruins along the Nile and other places in the Mideast. And they met up in New York in late 1830s, and they had heard these rumors about carved stones that had been found buried in the jungle in Central America and Mexico. There were vague reports. It wasn't really clear what was down there. But because of their prior experience, they were really kind of infected with this desire of insatiable kind of curiosity about antiquities. And they led comfortable lives in New York. I mean, but they ended up going down to Central America and having a tremendous adventure in discovering these what essentially became the Mayan civilization.
Given that they had done most of their exploring previously separately, was this something like the formation of a dream team to have Stevens and Catherwood together?
Yes, indeed. They were perfect in many ways. While they were very different men in a lot of ways, in their personality and the way they looked, Stevens was kind of short, compact, very nervous. Norman Melville once met him and said he had this burning, his eyes burned like coals. He was very, very intense man, but he was also extremely gregarious. Catherwood, on the other hand, was tall, slim, clean-shaven, extremely reserved in a British kind of way, man of very few words because he was an artist and an architect, and that's how he expressed himself, but the matchup between the two of them was a dream team. It was kind of the perfect matchup because when Stevens, who had written several books and had several bestsellers about his travels through the Mideast, wanted to go down there and met Catherine, wanted to go down there, then, you know, he realized that if they went down there and they found anything that was worthwhile, they would have to illustrate it. This was before photography.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to come out with some visual evidence of what they found, that words would never be sufficient. And Stevens was a brilliant writer, and Catherwood turned out to be, I mean, he was an accomplished and incredible artist. So it was. I mean, it was like the perfect team to go down there.
Catherwood's drawings are amazing, and one of the strengths of Jungle of Stone is that you show his drawings side by side with the photographs, and it looks like one could have been traced off the other.
Yeah, exactly. Those photographs I took because, you know, I'm a journalist by trade, and so when I decided to do this book early on, I decided that I really had to follow their entire path. They did it over 3 years and two expeditions. I did it over 3 months. This 2,500-mile trail through the jungle, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, Yucatan. And they did it on mules. That was the transport at the time. I did it on the closest thing I could come to a mule. My wife and I lived on and off in Guatemala, and we kept a car down there, a 1985 Toyota Corolla. Old beat-up car with no air conditioning, no radio to keep it from being too attractive to some people. So I made the journey at the same time of year they did. In the end of the rainy season, it was very humid and swelteringly hot. Unbearably hot, And but I wanted to replicate as much as I could, and it was 170 years later, of course. And however, much of their trail is not much different than 170 years ago. The jungle's very much the same, and a lot of small villages all around along the trail. But I have to admit that when I got up to the Yucatan towards the end, to the places that are extremely popular to tourists these days because there's their proximity to Cancun and other resorts along the Caribbean, I got to Chichen Itza, which is a very famous Mayan ruins, and it's just a bus ride, hour bus ride from Cancun, so it's mobbed with people often. I did stay in the Club Med there, so I didn't suffer too much. I did get ticks and mosquito bites, and but they were incredible. I mean, the hardship that they had at that time was incredible because they, you know, they had the ticks and the mosquitoes, but they had bout after bout of malaria, and they were sick a good part of the time. At one point, Kathy was close to death, and they had to break off the expedition and go back to New York to recover. They went back. I don't know why. They were crazy. I mean, really. But, you know, they had a lot of close calls. One of the problems was that Central America at the time was in the middle of a vicious civil war, and they knew that. And so to get some kind of protection and cover, Stevens, who had great connections in New York through Tammany Hall and political connections, got the president then, Martin Van Buren, to appoint him the diplomat to Central America. So that gave them some cover when they went down there.
Okay, yeah, there was some interesting stuff with passports and running into people who were on different sides of the Civil War and all sorts of obstacles in addition to malaria and mud and mules and everything else that starts with an M along the way. The book is called Jungle of Stone. William Carlson is our guest on The Exchange. We'll come back and talk more with Bill and take phone calls and emails from you when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on JPR's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is the journalist William Carlson. He's the author of the book Jungle of Stone, about explorers who found the Maya civilization in the 1830s. John Lloyd Stevens and Frederick Catherwood led a murderous expedition that really was tough on them and everybody involved, and yet managed to reveal the Maya to the world. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions, your comments for William Carlson, welcome at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. So, Bill, place the Maya in history for us. European explorers did find the Aztecs. What, if anything, did people know of the Maya when the Europeans arrived?
Well, they didn't know anything. The Aztecs didn't even know anything about the Maya. That's how ancient they were. They were as old, the Mayan civilization, after it had collapsed, I mean, in 900 AD, they were as old to the Aztecs are to us today. And the Aztecs had no idea that they existed. They were, you know, so just several hundred miles south of where the Aztecs were. And but their entire civilization and their many cities, that now they find up to 60 major city-states, the ruins of these city-states in northern Guatemala, southern Mexico, were buried, completely buried in the jungle. So they had no idea that this civilization existed. And actually, the Maya were in a class of their own when it came to civilizations in the Western Hemisphere. They had lasted 1,700 years. They started around 800 B.C. and went all the way up to 900 A.D., as I mentioned. 1,700 years of incredible success in a very kind of what would you think a hostile kind of environment, but they made it work for them. And they created the only written language in the Western Hemisphere, hieroglyphics as well. That's how they wrote it down. They invented the zero. They never had any metal tools at all or the wheel. And yet they built these monumental centers. At one point, around 250 B.C., they found a place just about 2 decades ago called El Mirador in the middle of the jungle. It took them that long, only 2 decades ago they found the city. But now they consider that that city in 250 BC, which about the time Greece was in its florescence, was the largest public monumental city in the world at the time.
So the discovery of the Maya really turned things on its head, though. I mean, because the assumption before the discovery of the Maya civilization was that there was nothing advanced in the Americas at all, right?
That's right. I mean, they knew of the Aztecs, but the Spanish, you know, the Spanish weren't discoverers. They weren't even explorers. They were conquistadors. They were after gold, and they wanted to convert everyone that they met into Christianity, the pagans that they met. And they considered the Indians extremely unrefined and savages. You know, they had blood sacrifice and human sacrifice and so on. And they destroyed all the cities of the Aztecs, and any ruins they found, they destroyed them, and the idols, and they would use the building blocks to build their own churches and their own cities. So, you know, the Maya. Now I've forgotten your question.
You know, the point being that belief was that there was no advanced civilization in the Americas.
Exactly. And so up until that time, up until the time of Stevens and Catherwood, it was believed that any vestiges that they found of any ruins of any kind of advanced civilization, like the Maya, had to be the vestiges of some kind of old world civilization, like the Egyptians.
Oh, like somebody had traveled across the ocean and set up a colony.
Yes, and colonized it, you know, 1,000 years before, you know, Columbus arrived. The prevailing theory was it was the lost tribes of Israel. That was the most popular theory at the time. But not only did Stevens and Catherwood uncover 40 cities, plus actually more than 40 cities, and come back and describe it in phenomenal bestsellers of their time. I mean, they couldn't keep the books in print. Harper Brothers was their printing presses were running 24 hours a day. They were so popular. But not only did they describe it, they made sense of it, and they were the first ones to prove that these were really the ruins of the indigenous population of the Western Hemisphere, that these were the product of the intelligence and creativity and resourcefulness of Native Americans. And so they really rewrote the history of America, of the Americas. They also, in the process, more or less invented archaeology, a word that didn't even exist at the time.
Oh, really?
Yes, right. I mean, they were on the forefront. They laid the foundation of certainly American archaeology. They're considered by archaeologists to have done that, but they were really on the forefront of that as well.
Bill Carlson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book about the discovery of the Mayan civilization in the 1830s is called Jungle of Stone. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Give us a sense of what John Lloyd Stevens and Frederick Catherwood expected to find versus what they did find.
Well, they were absolutely floored by what they found. I mean, they thought they would find some kind of semi-primitive city or two, you know, of stones. And when they saw what they saw, the first place they stopped was a place in just across the line from Guatemala in Honduras, a place that's now called Copan, a fabulous place that's been excavated and restored, as many of these places now have been. They found incredible artistry and sculpture. And they couldn't believe what they had found. They were stunned. And having already had been up and down the Nile, both men at separate times, they said that what they had found had matched anything they had ever seen along the Nile of the Egyptian civilization. So it just took their breath away. They couldn't even comprehend it at first. And then over time, as I say, you know, they found 40 plus more cities as they went along. So it was kind of a staggering experience for them. And one of the most interesting things about writing the book was, you know, to try to take the reader on that at that moment in time and the thrill of it and the mystery of it, because they didn't know what they had found. I mean, we know now what the Maya civilization is all about, but, you know, they didn't. They were still trying to piece it together.
I'm still curious, though, when they got to the Copan River, I mean, they talked about seeing big walls from across the stream that were plain to see. I'm just surprised that no one had documented them before, or was it just because it was that hard to reach?
Well, one man had been there before, and he wrote about it in a brief report, and another longer report that was buried in the archives of Guatemala City and never got out until, I think, in the 1900s. So there was one man, and one earlier man had gone, he was from when the Spanish were there in the 1500s, and he wrote a short report to the King of Spain that also was filed away in the archives. So they didn't have access to those. They did have access to the one report from the man in 1835 that had been to Copan, and that's what drew them to the little village. But yes, the locals knew what they knew the stones were out there. It was a very unpopulated area, very rural area. It was a valley, river valley that was covered by jungle. They knew, but they didn't know what they meant. There was no word of mouth. There was no sense of from generation to generation. So this really was a discovery. And then, of course, the true discovery was the extent and the scope and the vastness of this civilization from Honduras on the southeast all the way to Palenque and Chiapas, all the way across Guatemala, and then all the way to the north, to the northern part of the Yucatan. And they pieced it all together because there were so many common factors in all of the ruins that they found. So they, in essence, like really did discover that there was this sprawling civilization.
Bill Carlson, longtime reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle and New York Times, is the author of the book Jungle of Stone, the true story of two men, their extraordinary journey, and the discovery of the lost civilization of the Maya. Join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Howard in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Bill Carlson.
Good morning. Yes, here in Humboldt County, a few years ago, there was a lot of talk about the Mayan calendar being prophetic and the cataclysmic events taking place in the Earth. What happened to that?
Yeah, well, the 2012 effect.
Yes, right, exactly. I mean, that's one of the things about the Maya is they had these great cycles of time, 5,200-plus years. Every 5,200 years, their calendar would start again. That's the way they viewed the world and the cosmos. And so it's funny because a lot of people latched on to that as somehow now, in 2012, on a date certain, because they can correlate the calendars, I think it was in December, in fact, was the end of this 5,200-year cycle. And so a lot of people latched onto that as, well, the Maya, who are still somewhat mysterious. A lot of people actually, because they were so sophisticated, a lot of people actually believe that maybe the Maya came from outer space, which is hardly the case, as it turns out. But the Maya themselves, and there are 7 million Mayan descendants that still, pure Mayan Indians, still live in Guatemala primarily, they didn't make much of this. They still believe a lot of their religion, but they saw this as the end of the calendar, but they also saw it as the beginning of the next 5,200-year cycle. And it was a regenerative, that it would regenerate, and there would be a new era, a new calendar, a start of a new calendar. So they didn't see it as so much the end as to begin again. And that's just the way that their legends and their historical cycles worked. They were very sophisticated, interlocking calendars. They understood the stars, eclipses. They knew their astronomy very well.
I'm still surprised, though, but you mentioned they had no metal tools and no wheels. The wheels you can get around in some ways, but the metal tools to be able to do the carvings of stone that they did is just astounding.
They used a thing called chert and obsidian, which they broke off into very sharp and very hard, almost like extremely hard glass, almost like diamond. And so they could do that. They could use it that way to cut these limestone blocks that they used to build their pyramids and temples and palaces. And most of their civilization was built on what's called the Yucatan Peninsula, which is very thin jungle, really, very thin topsoil. Below it is all limestone. And so they could take that limestone and make it into blocks, and also they would take it and they would burn the limestone. And from that burning, they could make cement. And from the cement also and burning the limestone, they made plaster. And they plastered these gigantic pyramids, and they painted them these brilliant colors. We know that now. And it's also really part of the story of the Maya and their collapse. Because after 1,700 years and being so successful in the jungle, at one point there were 10 million Maya living in an area about the size of Maryland. And now we're only 500,000 Maya live. They were so successful, they were too successful. They had outlived their carrying capacity, their agricultural carrying capacity. And since they were all little city-states with royal kings and dynasties in each state, they got into wars over the declining resources and so on. But they burned all of the, they deforested the each king wanted to build a pyramid over the last pyramid, a palace over the last palace. And so they burned so much wood, and they deforested so much that the final end of the Maya in around 800, between 800 and 900 A.D., was they had degraded their environment so much that they created regional mini-climate change that resulted in decades-long severe droughts, incredible droughts, that literally caused the malnutrition, the starvation, and the emptying out of all these great cities.
Wow, that's amazing. An advanced civilization bringing about its own end.
Its own end, but the thing is that there's a lot of lessons for us today in what happened to them.
Truly.
And they didn't know it was happening to them, but we do. So we should learn. We should learn from them, I think.
William Carlson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Jungle of Stone, about the explorers John Lloyd Stephens and Frederick Catherwood and their discovery of Maya civilization. A couple of questions about the specific places and things that we're getting. Vincent Eugene wants to know about Tikal in Guatemala, where he's been, and whether that fits in the empire.
Oh, yes. Tikal is basically at the very center of the Mayan world. And Stephens and Catherwood never got there. They went kind of in a circle around. They went to the far southeast, to the far west, to the far north. There were plenty to see, 40 cities, but there was a whole lot left to be discovered after they finished their expeditions over the next 150 years, and they're still discovering things. Tikal was right in the center. It wasn't discovered until 20 years after Stephens and Catherwood. It's an immense, was an immense city, perhaps the largest city of the Maya cities, and also the tallest. I refer to it as the New York City of the Maya, because they had built these pyramids, temples of which on the top pops out above the jungle canopy. And you could climb up to the top of these pyramids, and you could look out, and all you would see today is just a sea of green, the top of all the jungle.
Huh.
Incredible place, Tikal.
The other question was from Grumpy John in Grants Pass, wanting to know about the huge round stones. I think he's talking about the stone spheres of Costa Rica. Are those a Maya thing?
Well, no, there was a civilization, not very advanced, but a minor civilization in essence compared to the Maya, that preceded the Maya along the Mexican coast near Veracruz. Where now Veracruz is, along the Gulf of Mexico, called the Olmec. And the Olmec, they did a lot of things. They contributed a tremendous amount to the Maya and other Mesoamerican cultures. They made these gigantic heads that were carved, I mean, really huge, 6, 7, 8 feet high and round. And they also created a thing called the ball game and the ball court, which is a thing that you'll find in all over Mesoamerica, which is Central America and Mexico, in these ancient places where they would play the ball game. Ball game, which is like soccer now. They couldn't use their hands. They had a rubber ball. And so the Olmec created that, and a lot of other traditions that were passed on to the Maya, but they preceded the Maya by about 500 years.
Well, so a lot of things that got invented in what came to be called the New World, and in fact had some Old World success in creating things.
Right.
By a long stretch. Let's final question here, I guess, because we're down to our last minute here. Was there a stampede? I mean, you talked about the fact that the printing presses had to run to keep cranking out the books. Was there a bit of a stampede of explorers to look at the Mayan sites after the work of Catherwood and Stevens?
Not right away. Number one, they had described their hardship and the close calls they had. They were taken hostage at one point, by gunpoint, by the insurgents, because this war was going on. That in a way, and so they describe it so vividly in Stevens and his books, that actually that was a deterrent for people going down there for a while. Eventually, 10, 20 years later, actually it was the Europeans that started to arrive first, carrying Stevens and Catherwood's books with them. The Americans were consumed by civil war at that point and Manifest Destiny, internally. So they didn't get around there until around the early part of the 20th century.
Okay, very busy time in exploration history and some amazing finds. Jungle of Stone is William Carlson's book about the discovery of the Maya civilization by John Lloyd Stevens and Frederick Catherwood. Bill, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, take care.